If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to open them to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. We've been working towards this verse. Thank you, Pastor Eric, for sharing last week. If you were here, you heard him share from the last of Hebrews chapter 11, and we are now at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. The scripture today talks about the surrounding cloud. I want you to leave here today encouraged that there is a surrounding cloud of witnesses that are cheering you on. I want you to know that. I want you to leave today knowing that somebody in heaven right now is cheering you on. And you might have a name for that person. You might not know of a person exactly. And if you don't have anybody that's cheering you on, know that Pastor Steve is cheering you on today in this race that you're running. Don't stop. Now, I want to say something else about next week. Next week, it says, verse 2, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. And so, if you do me a favor, next week, I encourage you to bring with you something. I encourage you to bring a pair of binoculars. I encourage you to bring a microscope. I encourage you to bring a telescope. If you have one of those three things or some other way of focusing your eyes, maybe a magnifying glass, bring it with you. All right? There's no other announcement. If you don't want to do that, that's fine, but I encourage you to bring it because I'm going to talk about fixing our eyes on Jesus is where we're going next week. The entire summer, we've been in Hebrews chapter 11, and I wonder how God has increased your faith this summer. And this week, today, we focus on Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. I want to encourage you again. There is a great cloud of witnesses that is cheering each of you on. I want you to hear that. I want you to grab a hold of that. I want you to understand that more than anything. If you're a young man in the room, know that there's a great cloud of witnesses. If you're a young lady in the room, there's a great cloud of witnesses. If you're an old person in the room, know that there's a great cloud of witnesses. Whoever you are, there's a great cloud of witnesses saying, go! You can do it. You can run the race, and you can run the race very well. I wonder if you know the cloud. I wonder if you have any weights in your life. I wonder if you have any sin. I wonder if you've let down on your endurance or your perseverance because the great cloud crawls out to you today. Don't stop. We have a scripture today from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Bennett, would you put that up on the screen, please? And I would like each of you, if you'd be willing and you are able, to stand with me, and we're all going to read this together today, please. This is God's word for us today. Here's what it says. Read with me. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Thank you. May God honor the reading of his word. I want you to catch the first point here. We are surrounded. There's something about the moments in our lives that we're surrounded by people that support us. Some of you remember these days, though individuals may not go into the delivery room, there's something about families that are sitting in the waiting room and just waiting for that little baby to be born. Some of you are grandmas and grandpas, and my word, did you not wait very well? Some of you were very impatient as you waited, even if you have like 29 grandchildren, or however many you have, you still wait for them, and you're like, okay, but when that time comes, you're surrounded by a bunch of people. At a funeral, when everybody files into a sanctuary or a funeral chapel, usually in the front, there's a place for families to sit, and you're just surrounded by people that you love. At a wedding, when the rice comes out and the wedding cake comes out, everybody's there and you're surrounded by all these people that love you and all these people that, well, do you remember when so-and-so was a little baby and they make fun of you and you're surrounded by all these people. What a great thing to be surrounded. And then, well, a lot of times in those situations, sometimes when I'm involved with people at a funeral, I'll say, now, I don't want to sound morbid at all, but when you're at this funeral, somewhere along the way with your family, you just need to take a picture. You need to take a picture of everybody that's here of a family, because you're never going to be in this group again in this way. Because many times people show up for funerals. They don't show up for a lot of things, but they show up for a funeral or a wedding. And I say, you need to take weddings. They take pictures. People make a lot of money off of that, by the way. But funerals, they gather around and take a picture. You're surrounded. Now, sometimes some of you remember somebody who didn't show up for a wedding or a funeral. Well, they're still surrounding you, even if they weren't able to be there. There is something about being surrounded by some godly people in your life. If I was to go around the room for each of you, and I was to say, tell me of a tough time for you, and then tell me of a time when somebody came alongside of you, a godly friend, and put their arm around you and said, it's all right. Or they looked across at you and said, it's okay. And you're surrounded, and a couple people come alongside of you. I don't know if you've ever had this happen before, but have you ever had somebody come up alongside of you and say, we need to pray for this person? And then all of a sudden, three or four come and surround you. There's something about that, isn't there? In there. There's something that happens. And it doesn't happen in most any other arenas, but when somebody comes around you and prays for you, that's a great day, isn't it? That's a great day, isn't it? Thank you. We've talked about Abel. We talked about Enoch. We've talked about Abraham. We've talked about Sarah and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses. We've talked about the Israelites and Rahab and Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel. And then there's a list of people we don't even have their names. But you should be encouraged today, because these individuals are in the heavenly realms and they're saying, you can do it. You're surrounded by this every day, but we miss it. We miss it. In 2 Kings chapter 6, there's told of a time where Elisha and the people were in Dothan, and there was a group of warriors from Syria, and they surrounded their city. And the servant of Elisha woke up and he's like, look at everybody around us. What are we going to do, Elisha? And Elisha said these words, do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Then Elisha prayed and said, O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see. And the scripture says, the Lord opened his eyes of the young man, and he saw that, behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. This is what I want you to catch today, if you haven't caught it already. There is this great cloud of witnesses that are around you, cheering you on, whether you be at home, whether you be at work, whether you be in your little capsule that we call a car, all by yourself, listening to whatever you want to listen to, wherever you're out, there's a great cloud of witnesses that are saying, go do it. Well, I don't know Jacob. I don't know Moses. You don't have to know them. They know you. I asked several of you if you'd be willing to get me a picture. Some of you have sent me a picture, and so just sit back and look at some of the cloud of witnesses that maybe you're represented within the congregation. There's some individuals. Again, you may not know some of these, but you may know some of them. Now, some of those people you know, and some of those people you don't know, but they're a part of the greater cloud of witnesses that are saying, don't stop. Don't stop. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight. There's something that you need to do this morning. There's a let us. And so not only does the cloud of witnesses say, don't stop, the cloud of witnesses also encourage us in another way, I think. This let us means that there's an action on our part. We just can't sit back and say, okay, whatever. We must do something. This is what it says we must do. Let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Let us lay aside every weight and sin. Romans 13:12 says this, the night is nearly over, the day has drawn near. So let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. I'm going to ask you to do me a favor this morning. Again, this is totally optional. If you don't want to, you could tell me, no, I don't want to do that, and that's fine. I can't make you do anything. But inside the bulletin here, there's going to be a place for you to take notes. I'm going to have a list of things that you can write down, but here's something I want to ask in your life. Do you have any weights in your life? Do you have any weights in your life? Now, I prayed for some of you this morning in the pastoral prayer, and there are some weights that we have that we really can't get rid of. But there are some weights in our lives that we can get rid of, that we've kind of added them on, or somehow they've been a part of us. I wonder if you have a weight in your life that just needs to go. And maybe you just want to write it down, and you just want to say, this is my weight. Would you be willing to admit, every one of us, that we have some kind of weight in our life that is weighing us down? Now, here's what the scripture says. It says, let us also lay aside every weight and sin. Now, I'm going to kind of go at this from a back sort of way, okay? So hopefully I can do this, and hopefully you'll bear with me on this. I think each of us in this room knows, and we're here, and we know if we have sin, we have to deal with that. I mean, that's like an issue we've got to say, Father, please forgive me. I am sinning here. And if you're involved in sin today, you've got to lay that aside. Get rid of that. Because if you don't get rid of that sin, it's going to tear you down in more ways than you even want to imagine. And many of us in this room are aware of that. We're like, yeah, I sinned there and that wasn't good. So I'm kind of going at this from a back standpoint because I think some of us would identify it very quickly. Yep, we need to lay aside every sin. Of course, of course, of course. So, hear me in this way. If you're involved in some kind of a sin, you need to confess that to the Lord, and you need to make it right with Him. Let me jump back, though. Do you have any weights in your life? I wonder what the weight was that was bothering these Christians when this was written. The author is saying, hey, we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Look at all of them in chapter 11. And now let us lay aside every weight. Was it the weight of the government? Was it the weight of pettiness? What was it? We're not sure. But the cloud was cheering them on. Here's what this says. Let us throw off everything. Let us lay aside every weight. Lay aside every encumbrance. Many of you know that the Christian walk is not a sprint, but it is more like a cross-country race, or it's more like a long-distance race. And you know that if you're going to run, well, maybe you don't, but if you're going to run a long-distance race, you don't want to have like an extra 15 pounds on your back, you know. Oh, boy, this will be fun. Not only am I going to run a marathon, but I'm going to put an extra 30 pounds on my back. You know, what I should do is I should have Hunter come and jump on my back and I should run piggyback with him. That sounds like fun. Wouldn't that be great? No. If Hunter said, hey, I'm getting tired, I'm going to say, run on your own. You got energy, don't you, Hunter? The devil is crafty and lets us put on these weights that we don't need. Now hear me, please. Don't defend your weight or your sin. Don't excuse it. If it bothers you, lay it aside. If the weights encumber me and cause me to lose, then that's not good. Here's what Ephesians 4:22 says. You were taught to put off your former way of life, your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. I believe this. When we get rid of our weights and our sin, then we are lifted up and we're not carrying a burden. I don't want you to necessarily this morning to feel bad, but I want you to actually feel relief. And I am cheering you on. So let me give you a couple. Can I do that? I have the microphone, I guess I can. Number one, look at this one. Worry. Maybe you want to write these down too, and maybe ask the Lord what's in your life. Is worry for you a weight? Now, some of these you might say, well, this one's actually a sin. All right, well, if you want to call it a sin and you're worrying, then you're sinning. Okay? But let's call worry just a weight right now. Do you know what happens when you add this weight of worry in your life? At first, it's no big deal because it's just there and you're kind of worried about that a little bit. But do you know what worry continues to do? Worry continues to eat inside your gut. It gets inside your head. And so then in the middle of the night, you're like, oh no, did I do? And then it's a weight. Then you don't get sleep for the next thing that's supposed to be coming, and it becomes a weight that burdens you down. So, do you worry? Next one, language. How's your language? Oh, I can say D-A-R-N, it's no big deal. I can say G-O-S-H, it's no big deal. I'm asking you, is that a weight in your life that's just weighing you down? It's very easy for us to say G-O-S-H and then say G-O-D, and that is a sin. It says it in the Bible, do not take the name of your Lord your God in vain. And so our language becomes a weight. We just accept the language of the culture, and we say words that I don't think you should say, and that weighs us down. You know how it weighs us down? Because when we come to church, we can't say those words. You ever been in a place where you said a word, you're like, oh no, hope my wife didn't hear that one. Oops, oh no, hope my husband didn't hear that one. Oh no, I hope my dad didn't hear that one. Some of you understand that. You were a teenager, and man, when you were by yourself, man, you could cuss with the best of them. But then when you got around your mom and dad, you're like, what'd you say? Nothing at all. Our language weighs us down and then could actually cause us to sin. Next one. Is there anything in the Bible that says that drinking is a sin? No. Is there anything in the Bible that says being drunk is a sin? Yes. I want you to think about this for just a moment with alcohol. Now, I know many of you don't drink alcohol. Praise God for that. But I want you to think about this for a moment. Is that a weight in your life that's causing you to stumble? Well, how would that cause me to stumble? Well, if you drink alcohol and you get out on the road, you're driving impaired. That could lead to running into somebody else, and running into somebody else could involve you with great difficulties. When you spend money on alcohol, because alcohol costs money. I don't know if you're aware of that or not, but it costs money, and it costs a lot of money. Then you're not spending money maybe on things that you should be spending on, maybe buying clothes for kids or buying something else for something, or maybe even giving to the Lord. Isn't that an interesting one? Some of us maybe are more interested in paying for the alcohol that we have instead of giving to the Lord. Now, doesn't that seem like a contradiction to you? And it's alcohol, and it's just a weight when we can be relieved of that. Another one, looking glances. Well, I just looked over at that girl. It wasn't a big deal. Oh, I just looked over at that guy. It just wasn't a big deal. Oh, it only popped up on my computer screen for just a little bit. No big deal. And all of a sudden, that weight of those looking glances, wherever it might be, leads to a thing called pornography, which is not good. And hear me, this society is encumbered and overwhelmed with the amount of money off of pornography, let alone it being a sin. The next one, the weight of, well, I didn't really say much. It was just a small thing. I didn't say much at all. The weight of gossip. Do you know what the weight of gossip does to you? It causes you to sin because then you have to cover up what you're going to say a little later on. And it's that weight. Now, some of you might say that gossip is a sin, okay? If gossip is a sin, then stop doing it. We need to stop doing it. When it comes to us, say, I don't know if that's true or not, but we're not going to go there. I'm not even going to talk about that because that's not of me. Lay aside gossip. Another one. Is watching TV and or movies a sin? No. However, let's think about this weight of TV watching for just a moment, or movie watching, or however you want to watch, whatever watch you want to do. All of a sudden, we find ourselves 2 or 3 hours enamored in a show that there's a weight that here's a weight that happens. Some of you have a series that you like to watch. Okay? Thursday night at 7, don't bother me because I'm watching my series. I hope I didn't step on any toes there. I don't even know what happens Thursday night at 7. I got myself in trouble there for just a moment. I've got to be there Thursday. And so it's a weight that jumps on us that we don't do anything else. And if Pastor Steve says we're having a special prayer time on Thursday night at 7, sorry, I got a TV show I got to watch. See how that weight becomes possibly a sin, and we're just emburdened by that, and it gets to us. Some of us in this room know this, and some of us are aware of this. Maybe, I don't know how much you watch movies, but here's what happens when you start watching movies. You become desensitized to what is being shown in the movie very easily, and maybe you've been caught in this weight. All of a sudden, that word that you would never allow in your home is said right in front of you, either on TV. And what do we do with those words? Why do we allow those in our houses, or why do we allow those in our families and stuff? And it's a weight that we put upon ourselves, and then we just get desensitized and we're seeing all kinds of images in front of us. That's not good. It's a weight. And it was just a simple TV show. Again, is watching TV a sin? I don't think so. But it could be a weight that's upon us. Another one. Is the internet evil? No. Can it be evil? Yes. Think about how much time you spend on the internet. Do a log. Somehow do a log on your phone of how much time you spend on the internet or on your computer, some of you. And you'll be like, dude, I spent 32 hours on the internet this last week. That might be a weight if you spend 32 hours on the internet in 1 week. That just might be a weight, don't you think? Might be. Another one. There's some boys in the room that may not like me. But it can be a weight for our children. It can be a weight for some adult males in the room. I don't think a lot of you adult females have any trouble with video games. Maybe you do. It becomes a weight. And so we spend all this time in these video games. And then all of a sudden, it's 4 hours later, and we have nothing to show for it. Let me step aside for just a moment and say, there's a great cloud of witnesses that are cheering you on to say, put it aside. Those things don't matter. Do more for the kingdom of God than just play a little video game or whatever it might be. Next one. Is eating a weight? Is eating a weight? Come on, guys, help me out here. Thank you, a little bit of laughter. Is eating a sin? No. Can eating be a weight? You better believe it. It can cause each of us so much grief, so much difficulty, but yet, who cares? Hamburger, fries, pop, wonderful. Let's do that every day, no problem. And then all of a sudden, we go to the doctor and he says, and we say, oh, well. Another thing about eating, some of us like to enjoy a really good restaurant. And some of us like to enjoy a really good restaurant a lot of the times. Restaurants cost a lot of money, just let me tell you. And again, let me go back to the money issue here for just a moment. Why are we willing to be burdened by this weight of eating in a nice restaurant, and then when we come to hear God's word, well, let's see if I have a dollar. Whew. I don't know if I have a dollar that I could give to the Lord this week. That might be tough. And we pay 80 bucks for a meal or more. Next one. Now, some of you might view this as a sin more than as a weight. But, well, you know, we're just playing we're just playing poker at our house, and we're using animal crackers, and it's really no big deal. But then all of a sudden, it becomes more than animal crackers. And there's a weight that comes that then all of a sudden we start doing a little bit more, and we go down to the convenience store, and but you never know, I might win the millions. And if I win the millions, you know what I'll do with it, Pastor Steve? You know what I'll do with it? I'll tithe it to the church, and man, the building will be paid for. Praise God. A weight that we put on ourselves. What's another one? Spending. Some of us have a difficulty with this weight of spending, and so we like to shop. Well, I just only went shopping for, I really wasn't going to buy anything, but I just went shopping. And so we have this weight on us because the society says you need this new pair of clothes, you need this new pair of pants. And so then we go and buy an $80 pair of jeans or $150 pair of jeans or whatever dollars you want to put on it, whatever outfit you want. And that weight comes on us because we have to spend. So we have a spending weight. But then it could become a sin. Another thing, speeding. Now again, some of you might say this is a sin, or we start to speed, and it's a weight. We got to keep up. And so then we go running through a stop sign, and we can cause a wreck, and that's not good. Another one is this, delayed obedience. Now some of you might say that's actually a sin. Some of you might be trying to, well, do I not? And then all of a sudden, there's this weight upon you because you haven't stepped out in faith that God has asked you to do. Another one, here we go, is reading. Is reading bad? Reading is not a sin, but sometimes we get so sucked up in the weight of reading and in a book club, and I got to get this book read, and we forget everything else, and we sin. Another one here is caffeine. Now again, is caffeine necessarily all that sinful? No, but it becomes a weight. It becomes a weight for each of us. If you're addicted to caffeine, that's a weight. I better go on. Friends or a romantic interest can become a weight. Some of you have some friends that are weights, and you just need to lay them aside. And then one more that's not on the screen. Sports. Sports can be a weight that get us encumbered. Some of you might be involved in a thing called fantasy football. Fantasy football is huge now. Fantasy football, we spend 2-3 hours trying to get our team. That becomes a weight. Our families are weighted down by so many sports. And so our lives are sports. That's a weight. I can't get out of it, but I want my kids to succeed. I understand that, but that can be a weight upon your family by all these sports that you're involved in. All the time. Where are you going now? Hold on. I gotta take this call because I gotta pick somebody up from this sport, this sport. And it can become a weight. Maybe a test would be whatever your one is or one that you wrote down, and I hope you're hearing this. I'm not trying to condemn you by any means. What I'm trying to do is to tell you this. There's a great cloud of witnesses that is cheering you on, and they're saying, put it down. Let go of it and lay it aside, because if you do it, you can run the race with endurance instead of being weighted down. Could you, for the rest of the day, not have any caffeine? For you, for the rest of the week, could you not have any caffeine? For you, for the next month, not have any caffeine? For you, for the next year, could you not have any caffeine? For you, for the rest of your life, could you not have any caffeine? Is it a weight that's bothering you down, or whatever it is, whether it be sports, internet, gossip, alcohol, laziness, obedience, eating. You got to eat. I understand that. But could you lay down that? Do you understand what I'm saying? There is this cloud that is coming. There's a cloud that is there. Here's what the scripture says. The sin which clings so closely, or it also says the sin that so easily entangles. Okay. I know we're out of time, but you got to go with me here. I need a couple of men. I need a couple of men. Two men. Come here, quickly. I need two guys. Wow. Yeah, no, I need four guys. I need all four of you. Come here. Yep, this is great. This is great. Here, Brent, put those on. Put those around your waist. Kelly? Your ankles. I'm sorry. Don't put them around your waist. Those are ankle weights. Okay, you two tie up Kelly, please. Tie him up. Just around, around his waist.
Oh, around his waist.
Around his waist. Yep. No, around his waist. I want you to tie him up around his waist. Here's what the scripture says. The scripture says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let's throw off every weight that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles and run with perseverance this race is marked out for us. Now, here's Brent, and he's putting on some 5-pound ankle weights. Now, if I was to ask him to take a race, I don't think I'm going to say, hey, put those ankle weights on, okay? But here's what happens. We do this. We're doing exactly what Brent does. We're just putting on ankle weights to help strengthen up our legs. But then we get ready for the race, and they're still there. You ready to run a race, Brent?
Just about.
Now, here's the other thing that happens. Yeah. You two, Steve and Bruce, you go over there. Kelly, you come right here. Turn this way. Come here, Brent. All right. So let's say that it's race time, and let's say that it's Brent versus Kelly. You two are the anchors. Okay? You two are the enemy. You two are the entangling. Who are you going to root for? Who are you going to root for? Who are you going to root for? I love the scripture that says the sin that so easily entangles. Catch this. Each of us in this room, there's this sin that easily entangles us, and we need to run with perseverance a race that's marked for us. Some of us may be in this category here, and he's not going to get very far, is he? Because there's an enemy that's crafty. There's an enemy that's wise, but not wiser than our God. But the enemy says, I'm just going to put this weight upon them. And so they start taking off. So on your mark, get set, go. All right, Brent wins, yay! But hold on, does Brent win? After a while, he's going to be weighted down by that, isn't he? So there's a great cloud of witnesses. Thank you. You guys can take those off. You can sit down. There's a great cloud of witnesses that is calling to you today. And I know it's a silly illustration, but I hope that you're catching it. Bennett, put that picture up, please. There's a great cloud of witnesses that's cheering you on. And they say this, lay aside every weight and the sin that so clings so closely and run with perseverance the race marked in front of you. Chuck Swindoll says this, it is never too late to start doing what is right. Never. If we don't put down the weights, we're not able to run the race with excellence. We'll stumble. We might fall down. Let's throw it off and run with perseverance. Some of you might be thinking, man, ugh. Well, hear this. Most Bible characters met with failure and survived. And Paul said it this way, when sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Have you any weights? I don't want you to leave this morning being weighed down. I want you this morning, I'm going to pray for you in just a couple of minutes, and I've asked each of you to examine your own life. I want you to say, is there a weight in my life? And if there is, then say, God, would you take that weight? If there's a sin, definitely you need to say, oh God, that has been entangling me for some time, and I need to let it go. Because these people are up there saying, we've done it! And heaven's awesome. And we are surrounded by these people, whether these people here or some others. And they're saying, you can do it. Stand with me, please. Lord Jesus, in the quietness of this moment, I pray that you would just help some people to know here. They feel like they've been out on their own, running a marathon out in the middle of the desert. And I just pray today, Lord God, that you would come alongside that individual and that you would remind them that because they are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, they can do it. And may they walk out of here knowing they can do it. However, Lord, we also know that there's a part of this that says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance and endurance. So, Lord, I pray that even right now, that as we're in this sanctuary, from the youngest of men, the youngest of women, to the oldest, help us to lay aside those weights right now. I think that you've been speaking this morning, and I pray that you would seal that in somebody's heart and somebody's life today, that you would allow them to know that you will take that weight, that you will take that sin, so they can run with perseverance the race that's in front of them. God, take those for us, I pray, right now. And I ask that each of us would run with perseverance this week. God, may you be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And may you guard each of our hearts in all that we do and say. We love you, and we pray this in the mighty and the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed. Thanks for coming today.